Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, singing a great anthem of something that's being sung continuously around the throne of God. Isn't it good to be together this morning? It's good to look around, see all these people. Some of us are getting ready for school, dreading it. Others are anticipating it here towards the end of the month. Yes, another Sunday of reminder, just in case it was slipping your mind. So, man, it's so good to see you this morning. I just want to give thanks to the Lord. Some of you heard, some of you will be hearing this for the first time possibly, but we had prepared my mom's car to take it to my father-in-law in Florida and sell it to him. And we had just had an hours-long prayer here Wednesday. And then we were going to go eat breakfast and then start. Shannon Blake was going to follow me down. And I found out that a 1996 Saturn SL1 is no match for a 2006 Chevy Trailblazer 4x4. Yeah. Wow. And somebody tried to climb over the car, right rear car, and just a mistake in traffic. And when it happened, I immediately said, I'm not surprised. My next thought was, thank you, Lord, for your hand of protection and mercy. And God causes all things to work together for the good. Notice that God doesn't cause all things. It doesn't say that. It says God causes all things to work together for good. And so I'm so grateful for the hand of the Lord and prayers of people for their pastor. And to just simply be able to walk away with that, be kind and good to somebody that made a mistake and admitted it. Have a Christian policeman stop and fill out the reports. Have them immediately admit that they were at fault and be moving into the finalizing of that through. And the bottom line is that we may end up with the same money for the car and not have to make a trip to Florida. So, you know, it's just the blessings of the Lord. You know, the Lord is playing multidimensional chess. He's got 500 levels of involvement, and we can only see that one or two things. And we're pretty impressed with that. But I'll tell you, we can trust our Lord, can't we? Yes, we can trust our God. He is awesome. I want to begin a series with you over these next couple weeks, really moving through the book of Ephesians. And the overall title of this is Cosmic Christianity. Cosmic Christianity. The reason I chose that word is something just percolated in my spirit, and I want to be obedient to the Lord. I felt like that was the title he was working in my spirit. But this, we just need to open up our eyes. We need to open up our spirits. We need to open up ourselves. And we need to realize just how great, how magnificent God is. And all that he has provided for us. And what's really going on in the world. And so I'm praying over these next couple weeks, this would be just a real eye-opening experience, that the eyes of our heart would be opened and that there would be just a new, maybe for the first time, or a renewed sense of the greatness of God, the greatness of His gift, the greatness of His grace, what we have, what has happened for us in Christ Jesus, and all that He has for us. And we're going to be kind of plumbing these depths, moving through the book of Ephesians. My goal is to try to get through a chapter, maybe most of a chapter each time, and just kind of pull some thoughts together. And as we look at, and we just begin to open this, we're looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 1. This is a church that Paul himself, as recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, had founded. It began with him deciding to let everybody else go in the boat, and instead he would walk by the inland road that led between two towns. And along the way, he ran across some men from Ephesus who said they had believed and they had been baptized with John's baptism. And Paul asked them that they had received the Spirit yet, and they said, we hadn't even heard whether there be this Holy Spirit. He explained it, laid hands on them. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this became the nucleus, the powerful nucleus of a powerful move of God that went almost 3 years to the point that it says that that whole region has become evangelized and that the Jews and the Greeks were reached with the power of the fullness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how this church had begun, and it had begun because of the Apostle Paul and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. And so in this letter, Paul is writing to this church, and he's trying to bring encouragement. He's trying to bring some focus and direction to their life. And so this is the backdrop of this idea of cosmic Christianity. Look at your neighbor and just say, cosmic Christianity. Now, when I say that word cosmic, it's big. Very often we use this adjective cosmic when we're trying to get across the idea that this is really powerful, this is really great, this is bigger than you've ever seen before. Now, we live in a culture that constantly has advertising, right? We hear it on the radio, see it on television. We have infomercials. We have 30-second, 20-second commercials. And we have commercials with people speaking very rapidly at the end with all of the disclaimers. Right. And we hear a lot of adjectives, what's called superlatives. And so they're big, flowery words that try to get across to us this idea. Yeah, you've had a car, but not as great as this one. Yes, you've had a life, but not as great as the life you could have. Yes, you've been to a concert, but not as great as this concert. And then you've been to a truck rally, but not this monster truck rally. And it's big, and it's got fire, and it's got all of this stuff going on. And so we're living in a culture that's always is really basically saying this. Top that, right? And so when we're surrounded and soaked with all of these adjectives and these superlatives, that we have to use those because really we're often let down by someone who has used a superlative and has sold us that beauty, that wonderful car, the best car on the lot. Whatever the superlative was that was used to motivate us, we find out that it wasn't. That at times it was the lemon. It was the least and not the best. It was the worst and not the greatest. And so we're living in this time, it tends to make us skeptical. And so I want to challenge you over these next couple weeks to come in these doors and prepare your heart and just take some skepticism and lay it aside and say, I'm going to try not to be skeptical here. I'm going to try not to run this through the filter that has been educated by our advertising that we're surrounded with, that I'm being set up to be let down. Don't come to church on guard and say, well, he's going to talk to me about eternity and things of God, but I'm not so sure. I just want to challenge you to lay aside some of your skepticism and let this be a time of faith. And let this be a time of your spirit being built. And let this be an eye-opening experience as we talk about cosmic Christianity. So as we plunge in, and I chose on purpose that background for our scripture this morning, it starts with this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. To the saints, or the holy ones in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, if we're not careful, right out of the box here, when we hear the word the saints, we often, if we're not New Orleans fans, no one in this church, right? We are often immediately, when we hear the word saint, see if this isn't true, we get this glimpse in our mind of a statue. Somebody rubbing the foot of that statue. The image of that statue being emblazoned upon a medal and attached around our neck. Or somewhere on the dashboard for a patron saint or something like that. Some of us have had a background in Catholicism and other things, or we're around enough of it that when someone uses the word saint, that's immediately what we think about. Somebody who lived, number one, a long time ago. Somebody who did spectacular and unusual things. Somebody who was born in very rare circumstances, or maybe miraculous ones. And they tended to float above the carpet, and their foot barely touched the earth. They were just untainted, unstained, by humanity. There was just something awesome and special about them. And when you mention their name, you almost hear a choir going, oh. Right? Thanks to the religious world, that's what we've got. But that's not what Paul is saying. He's addressing people who are alive. And people who just a couple years before were lost. And now something has happened. They have been encountered, and they have encountered the living Lord of Calvary. They've encountered Jesus Christ. And now something has been written about them. They are now addressed as saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus. So, what would happen if we would allow that idea of that statue, that picture of the gold and ceramic and porcelain, if we would let that go from our mind and we would begin to look in the mirror and begin to see ourselves and say, there is a saint of the Most High God. There is somebody who's wanting to be and is faithful in Christ Jesus. You see, religion will try to convince you that there's only a few that can do that. But Jesus has come to open up this door and our thinking and our heart and realize that we are called, every one of us, holy ones. Why? Not because of our ability, not because of our noble or strange or unusual birth, but because of the fact that He has called and we have answered. We have simply answered the call. And we have simply said yes and amen. We have accepted the offer. And so hear it this morning that He is addressing this group of people that He met, some of them on the road, and He reached later. They were cult worshipers. They were worshipers of Diana. They were involved in the occult. They were the furthest from God. And what happened? They accepted Christ as their Savior. And when they did, they were called what? Saints. So look at your neighbor and say, looks like a saint to me. So grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than just a greeting. He is speaking something to them, and it's a very powerful reminder of what we have in Him, and that's grace and peace. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. Now, this grace and this peace that He's speaking to them largely has to do with what the stuff that they need to deal with life. We heard already, and this is true, people are looking for freedom. They really are. People are longing to be free. They know what it's like to feel enslaved. They know what it's like to feel obligated. They know what it's like to feel a weight of the world upon their shoulders, and they are looking for freedom. To these kind of people and to us, we need to hear this understanding that breathed upon us is this idea of grace and peace. What is grace? Grace is God's stuff. Everybody say God's stuff. It is whatever is needed to get me from where I am to where I need to go. Spiritually, within my soul, within my body. Whatever it is that I have need of, that is described as grace. This is God's power, God's position, God's authority, God's favor, and all of this stuff, this is all available to us. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking to them and to us today, grace to you. Grace. And by definition, grace cannot be earned and cannot be merited, but grace can be received. Grace is offered by God, and it is received by us. How? By faith and obedience. We simply align ourselves. Now, it can really be like this. Just think of it in this terms. Somebody says to you, you know what? I have this ATM account that I opened, and I just stuffed it full of money. And I'm just giving people a card and a PIN code. And whenever you need money, just go get some. How many of you are in? Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I'll take two. Thank you. Now, what would all that you would have to do would simply be to open your hand and to receive into your hand that card, right? Along with the PIN code. Keep it in a safe place. You don't want somebody else getting it. But there's something else you need to do. You see, as long as that card is in your hand, it doesn't do you any good. But if you will get in your car and you will drive over to the bank and or any other ATM affiliated with them, nobody wants to pay that $2.50 charge. Make sure it's affiliated with the bank on the card. And go put that card in there, punch in that PIN code, and then select how much you need. The greatest tragedy of all would be if somebody had that card in their wallet and said, well, I'd hate to use it. Excuse me? They just made the offer of a lifetime. And that's exactly what God has done in Christ Jesus. He has established the line of credit. He has put the resources there. And the Apostle Paul is speaking to this group of saints, and he says, grace and peace to you in from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's cosmic. That's cosmic. That's big stuff. Because everything you have need of can be met with the resources of God. And here's the other thing, that you have peace with it. Isn't that great that you can have peace? Now, some people thought that if they had money, which stands for grace, that that would be enough. But many people have discovered that even when they encountered resources, they didn't have the internal sense of contentment that would allow them to enjoy peace that came with the benefit. How many people's lives have become infinitely chaotic because they found the limelight, because they scored big, because they won the lottery, so on and so forth. They thought that if I had my resources met, it would also grant to me peace. But how many people lay their head down at night and they are tortured in their thinking? Why? Because they lack peace with God. And if you have no peace with God, you can find no peace on the earth. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Peace. And so what the Apostle Paul is speaking to us, to that church at Ephesus, and to us here in 2018 at Vision Church, is that you have been given this double whammy, this wonderful thing. Just as grace and mercy goes together, grace and peace goes together. And so you have this infinite provision of God, and you have the blessing of being at peace with God and therefore at peace with others. That is out of this world, man. How many of you know it's not in this world? Now, let me back that up. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives unto you. Why? Because the peace that the world gives can be given and taken away. Have you noticed that over in Israel and in other places on the planet that are in constant turmoil, what you have is you have a ceasefire of some kind, you have a cessation of hostilities, and there's a form of peace for a short time, and then there's skirmishes, and then it heats back up, and it gets very difficult, and then it calms back down, and what's happening is they're simply declaring a ceasefire so they can reload. And the only peace that exists there is a arbitrary, artificial peace, but it's not any lasting peace. But I'm here to tell you, when you get into right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, there is a peace that He gives. And because He gives it, the world can't take it away. Give the Lord a hand clap. Let me tell you what that is. That's cosmic. Back in the 60s, man, they had said that was cosmic. Man, give me some of that cosmic grace and peace. Where's it from? It's from out of this world. It is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as if that's not enough, we need to go right through these next few verses to kind of, as we kind of set the stage there. So firstly, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Everybody say heavenly realms. Now, all the way back to the book of Genesis, we have this idea that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's called the Shemaim and the Eretz. That which is transcendent and that which is here, the earth. Okay? Now, where are we at right now? Some of you say, and I'm on the earth, but I'm not here, Pastor. I'm off cooking a meatloaf. I'm over there looking at the menu at Logan's. Okay? Everybody dial back in. Everybody come back. Let's all get in the same place. We are in the earth. Where is the Father? Above the heavens. Where is the Son of God? At the right hand of the Father, in the heavens. Where are we going to go when we die? If we know Christ, to the heavens. Then we're going to be back in the earth and living forever with His kingdom established on the earth. That'll blow your mind right there. And to that, well, we'll just press pause and we'll handle that another time. We may get to that later in this series of messages. So we need to focus upon something that He says, pray be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. This is a cosmic blessing. This is a blessing that's transcendent. It has not originated in the earth, but it has come about in the heavenly realms. Now, one of my great concerns about the American Christian, about us in Vision Church, about us in the West, is that we are nearly completely blind to the unseen realm.
Yes, sir.
We are very materialistic. It's what we see, what we can touch, what we can handle. We're very pragmatic. Show me the results. But the New Testament doesn't allow us to stay there. The Apostle Paul, in this book, like no other, he really helps us to connect to something. Now, this is the same Apostle Paul who wrote to one church and said, I knew a man some time ago, whether he was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, but this one was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. Things that he wasn't allowed to share. Why? I believe because John was given the right to share the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Apostle Paul. But Paul was given revelation about the gospel. And he writes two-thirds of the New Testament, and he does so. We just need to receive this, okay? I'm just asking you just to take some skepticism and lay it aside, some materialism and lay it aside. The Apostle Paul brought to us the gospel, the mystery of Christ and the church, because he saw it firsthand in heaven. And he came back to report it. And that's what's happening here. That's what's happening here. We're getting a glimpse into the heavenlies, and we get to realize what is available for us and has been made available is from heaven, and it is ours right now. Ours right now. And it comes from heaven, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So, first of all, we see in the heavenly realms there's great blessing. What kind is it? Every spiritual blessing. Every. Look at your neighbor and say every. Now, you've read that in a contract somewhere, and then you saw the disclaimer. Asterisk. Every does not mean. But when you read the scripture, you're not reading a contract. And when the Apostle Paul tells us, look, he has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, something that just caught my eye as I looked through here is we're going to see as we read through this passage that he constantly talks about in the heavenly realms. Then he talks about in Christ, in Him, and in love. So let's read now and let's see what about these spiritual blessings, and then we'll go back and define them just a little bit better. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What does that mean? There's no blessings outside of Christ. In Christ alone I place my trust. Right? Now, modern religion wants to say there's many ways. But that's not what the gospel teaches. The gospel teaches there's one door and only one. His name is Jesus. And all spiritual blessings are in Christ, the Messiah of God. So listen. For He chose us in Him. See that? For He chose us in Him. Look at your name and say, everything's in Him. And the Him is Christ, Jesus. Okay? He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Now, something that stumbles a lot of us in our understanding, especially when we start mixing the teachings of the Apostle Paul and others and then take words and try to run them together, is we see this chose us in Him and we immediately think predestination, or we think God's going around electing people. But notice very carefully how Paul anchors this. He chose us in Him. Let me help you here. Who is the chosen one? Christ. When we place our faith in Christ, what does that make us? Chosen in Him. You see? Let me just help us here. It's all about Jesus. Jesus is consistently called in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, John's Gospel, the one and only. The beloved one, or simply, the one. There is only one who has kept the law. There is only one who has pleased the Father. There is only one that has endured the cross, despising the shame. There's only one who has been sacrificed on our behalf. There's only one, and His name is Jesus. He is the chosen Son of God. Amen? Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Woo! Now, listen to this. Wait, there's more. Talk about cosmic. When we place our faith in Jesus, then we enter into the one. And now what is conferred to us is we become chosen because we have accepted Jesus. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world. And what has He chosen us to be? Remember, He addressed them as saints? What are you chosen to be? What has God chosen for you? What is the predetermined path that He wants to see you walk out for you to be holy and blameless in His sight? Wow, is that a high calling or what? Now we understand what Paul is calling the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the problem. So many believers think that they have an escape clause, that they can simply be born again and barely escape the corruption that's in this world. But do you know what God has in mind for you? He has in mind for you that you will not barely escape, but that you will triumph in Christ Jesus, that sin will be under your feet, that you'll become the head and not the tail, and that you will walk into the fullness of the maturity of what it means to be a son of God. Yes, give the Lord a hand clap. That's gospel. That's great news. Now look, if you're in a fire and you barely escape, that's great news. If you're hit behind and not injured, that's great news. But wait, there's more. God is not chintzy. God is not offering to us a plan of chintzy salvation, barely by the skin of your teeth, sliding into heaven with nothing to show for it. No, no, no. Open our eyes, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord. Help us not to have a hangdog Christianity that looks at barely getting by. Help us to have a true cosmic Christianity that says, He's called me to be His son. He's called me to be His son. He has called me in Christ to be holy and blameless in His sight in love. Isn't that great? That's great news. You see, cosmic Christianity says, consider this, and tradition and religion says, whoa, that is just for a few select folk. That's just for the pastor and the board. That's just for an archbishop or a college of cardinals. That's just for some people who wear funny hats and ornate robes. No. That's for whosoever will may come. That's for everybody in this room. That is potential for everybody in Lake Worth. Folks, we've got some great news for people in Lake Worth.
They don't have to barely get by, barely be born again, barely be rescued, barely be delivered, but they can be utterly and completely born again, transformed, made holy, made victorious, and become a triumphant, powerful son and daughter of the living God. Wow. Let that sink into our heart. Amen. He goes on. He says, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. Now, we hear that word predestined, and we've heard predestination. That's where God goes, and He chooses me before I'm even born. Says, you'll be lost, you'll be saved. You'll be lost, you'll be saved. You'll be lost, you'll be saved. And that's not at all what Paul's talking about. What he's saying is, He has something in mind for you when you become His son by adoption. Now, let's talk about adoption. How many of you have been adopted? How many of you have adopted? Okay? So, some of you have adopted, some have been adopted. What Paul was talking about is a form of adoption in the Roman culture where somebody, there were varying levels of adoption, where somebody who did not belong in a family was adopted and given every right as a son, as if they were naturally born. Rights of inheritance, right to the riches, right to the training. They, in fact, they could get in trouble if they did not treat them just like they should a son, because they had made a commitment in the eyes of the law to do precisely that. This is what's in view here. He has adopted us. Now, listen, the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group that's largely Gentile. Many of these people are not Jewish. These are people who are used to the idea that they've been on the outside looking in for centuries. And the great mystery of the church is that God has opened a door for people who did not have relationship with Abraham, that they could come and by faith connect with God through Jesus Christ and now be called this, the sons of God. Isn't that great? Look at your neighbor and say, you're a son of God. Now, if we were talking about someone else upon the earth, a wealthy person, a person of notoriety, then immediately, if people know that famous person, they typically know who their children are. Have you noticed that? Especially in politics. You talk about President Jimmy Carter. What was his daughter's name? See? Right on down the line. We could go through the Nixon. We could go to Reagan, so on and so forth. And they tend to also be able to ride their father or mother's coattails a little bit. And there's people, I know you're going to find this surprising, who got into entertainment despite the fact they couldn't act or sing because of who their parents were. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do you one better. You are handled and treated by God because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ as a full son. And He looks at you and handles you exactly the way that He handles Jesus Himself. Wow, that's cosmic. You see, we tend to think down here, yeah, God's adopted me, but He's adopted me like adopt a pet. He's adopted me, but I'm a dog or a cat. I'm way down the pecking order of heaven. No! When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're adopted with full rights as a son or a daughter, and all of the angels stand at attention and notice that the mark of Jesus is upon you, the Father's favor is upon you, and they're looking at His glory, and they're looking at you, and they're saying, how may we serve the purposes of the kingdom in the life of this one? And that, some of you are sitting there going, that's weird. Pastor, that is weird. No, you've been have too narrow of a Christianity, and you have been looking down too long. It's time for us to look up. It's time for our hearts to have the sun shine upon it. It's time for some light to get into our spirit and say, wow, I've been underdoing this thing the whole time. It's time for some people to get a sense of this and say, wow, that's cosmic. It says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, there it is again. By the way, let me just tell you that 10 times this phrase or something like it is used within verse number 3 to verse number 14. Now I just want to kick the blocks off and read through this passage and let us rejoice a little bit before we go and we close this out. To the praise of his glorious grace, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. How many of you are glad for forgiveness of sins? Now what does it mean to have sins forgiven? That means to be blotted out and not held against you Any more. Brother Will, you may have to sit for about 10 minutes. No, I'm kidding you. If you could just play that song, Our God, the one, that third song we did, as he gets that together. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. God lavishes. Some of us in this room believe that God is stingy, that God is narrow, that God is hesitant, that God must be manipulated, cajoled, threatened, begged, moved by tears, or fasting, or dragging yourself upon a field of glass. That is an old, dead religious idea. It's pagan and it's nasty. That's not God. He is more willing to bless you than you are to receive a blessing. He's more willing to give to you than you are to receive. He's more willing to do above and beyond you can ask or think than you are willing to sit down and make a list of what it is you really need in your life. Folks, you need to really open up some ideas here. You need to throw away some skepticism and say, my God is awesome and he loves me. And he has lavished upon me all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed, here it is again, in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, a mark, a signet, an impression to everything in the spiritual realm that mark can be seen. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Folks, in him we're given us the Spirit of God. We're given a mark. There's an impression upon our life that every demon in hell recognizes. There is an impression put on our life that every angel of God recognizes. And there is a mark made on our life that when people of prayer and people of the word come by us, here's what they say. You're a believer, aren't you? How do they know? How do they know? You haven't said anything. You don't have any jewelry around your neck. You had not your bumper stickers, anything. But they know. Why? There's a mark. And something in their spirit says, this one's been marked. This one's been marked with the gospel. This one's been marked with receptivity to the truth. This one has been marked by the Word of God. This one has a mark on their life that's been made because they came to a place of faith and they've been born again. Folks, we have glorious, great good news. We think of it all too little. We're all too thankless about it. We easily pass it by and say, well, that was wonderful. What's next? Let's go on. But you know what we need to do? We need to come back with Paul and we need to come back to this and say, just how awesome is this? Just how great is this? How big is this? How magnificent is this? Our God is greater. We serve a great God. And He has given us great gifts. He has given us the greatest gift of all. He's offered to us the gift of salvation. And we begin our journey by being born again. And we walk towards that. He has a high calling for us in Christ Jesus. It's out of this world. We have grace from out of this world. Peace from out of this world. A deposit of the next world that's been put within us from out of our world into the next world. The heavens have touched our lives. Folks, we need to stop living like earth people. And we need to start walking like people of the Shemayim, people of the heaven, people whose feet are on the earth and we are touching and having influence. But we are hearing a voice from above. We're having a move from above. We're hearing something that's coming from another realm. We're receiving something that other people can't even imagine. But it's been deposited in us. He has lavished it upon us. I'm going to ask if my wife would come and just lead us through that song before we go to prayer. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is greater than any other. And as we just go one time through a verse and a chorus of that, let's just prepare our hearts right now as we sing that. And be saying as you sing that in your spirit to the Lord, Lord, would you help me? I'm singing those words, you're greater, but man, sometimes I'll leave you down here. I'm looking around down here. I'm disappointed. My head's hung low. And I forget to hear those words, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. We serve a great God, a glorious God. If you could bring those words up again, Brother Chris. Our God.
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Our God. His water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. And into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Just lift up a hand to Him. Let's stand to our feet before
we
pray.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God. Our God. My God is greater.
My God.
My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any
Lord, we just stand before you as your people. And we stand with our struggles and our difficulties. We stand right where we are. I'm just wondering, there's a specific way I want to pray, and I'd like for you to raise your hand if this is you. Lord, my head has been down too long, and I've been really looking at stuff on the earth and really bothered and vexed by some things, and I haven't enjoyed your grace and your peace. And I really want to lift up my head. I'm going to ask that you be the lifter up of my head, and that you open my heart and open my eyes and let me really see that cosmic greatness of who you are. I need that to dawn upon my heart again. I'm not questioning your salvation. I'm not questioning whether you're born again. I'm just questioning where you're focused. And my head gets hung down so easy. Would you just lift up your hands right to him right now? Say, Lord, look, here I am. You are awesome. You're God and I'm not. You have lavished all of this upon me. You have provided all of this. You have this grace. You have this peace. You have this plan. You have this future. You have this possibility. You have this greatness. You have this adoption. You have this position. You have all of this. You have this future and eternity. You have this all. But I just haven't been accessing it like I've needed to. I just haven't been living in the reality of it like I need to. It really, Lord, needs to be dawning upon my heart. I need, Holy Spirit, I just need you to open my eyes and stir my heart. Open my ears and let me hear it again. Help me to slide away the clouds of skepticism and doubt. And help fire up my faith. And help me to access through faith and obedience this great resource. Help me to be a little more heavenly minded, Lord. Help me to see into the heavenly realms. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my spirit. Stir that fire in me again. Stir that vision in me again. Lord, do something fundamental in my spirit to move me into my future. To fully realize those 10 great blessings that are in Christ Jesus. Wow, they're awesome. But I really want them to be real in my life, Lord. I pray for people just like me today that that's their prayer. Lord, I pray that at Vision Church, you'd open our spirits, open our eyes, help us to realize and to see there's more to this than the five senses and Monday through Sunday. There is so much more to this. We've been underselling it, Lord. We've been underexcited. We've been under-participating. We've been under-taking advantage of it. Lord, you're lavishing. We want to receive. You're offering. We want to take. We want to take you up on every promise and everything you have for us. Lord, dawn this upon our heart. Open our eyes. Lord, we need a spiritual invigoration. We need something to be stirred in our spirit. And Lord, we ask it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Lord, bless us as we go. What a great morning to be together, isn't it? And what a great week to walk forward with Jesus. Lord, bless us as we go from this place.